Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. This week, we're broadcasting from a beautiful part of the world because we're going to talk about offshore asset protection strategies. How can you make sure you're protecting all the things you work so hard to put together in your life? And we've got a great guest today on the Real Estate Guys radio program. Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way for you to get everything you've ever dreamed of? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable for their achievement. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms, and I'd like to personally invite you to attend Create Your Future, the 2019 Goals Retreat, January 18th to 20th in beautiful Lake Las Vegas, Nevada. This unique weekend event has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the hundreds of people that have attended. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com under events or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the 2019 Goals Retreat on the third weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com to register. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888-489-7723, extension 18, today. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, co-host financial strategist Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
This week, we're thrilled to be broadcasting from one of our favorite places in the world. We are in Ambergris Key, Belize.
Yes, we are, and it's beautiful here.
Oh, my gosh. We've had a group of investors here spend the weekend and brainstorm and network and learn stuff together. It's been extraordinary. And, you know, as a real estate investor, you have to continually put good ideas in your brain. You got to get around people that think differently. One of the big advantages to going somewhere else, getting out of your own home country, the whole process of needing a passport, going through immigrations and customs, is it has you appreciating this is a big world.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing is, people everywhere have very similar needs, and real estate is a universal product, and the needs that it services people is pretty universal. And sometimes, you know, especially as Americans, we get lost in our own little bubble and we think the world revolves around us and that we do everything better than everybody else. And you know, that's really, if you travel, you realize, you know, that's not necessarily true. Certainly America is highly developed and there's got really beautiful things, but there's a lot of beautiful places and people and experiences to be had, even in undeveloped countries like this one. And so, you know, this isn't obviously a show about Belize. I think anybody that's been listening to the show for any length of time knows we love Belize and all the reasons why we love Belize. We just happen to be here with our guest today to take on this topic. But traveling, you know, I've learned, Robert, with you traveling internationally, just the opportunity to see a bigger picture of the way the world works. Get me out of my own head, get me out of my own world, and see the benefits of having a portfolio that is broader, but also having the backside of that structured in such a way to provide the additional benefits and protections that you can get when you kind of go outside of a single jurisdiction.
Last week on the show, we were talking about this idea of asset protection, and we had our good friend, a long-term friend, and Rich Dad Advisor Garrett Sutton on the show. Garrett is, of course, an attorney, and you know, we wouldn't like to start with legal necessarily. Most people that get involved in real estate are thinking about it from the investment point of view, putting into their portfolio, long-term capital gains, cash flow, some tax benefits. But if you don't think about the legal side ahead of time, then you find yourself unprotected. And Garrett gave some great examples of that last week. But asset protection doesn't stop with just getting an LLC in a particular state in the U.S. There's so much more to asset protection. And so really today is part two of our dive into asset protection. And we're going to talk about the bigger picture, which is kind of international or offshore asset protection.
Well, it's even bigger than asset protection. It's really when you think about entity structuring or entity planning or entity strategy, what you're doing is you're encompassing several different components. Obviously, the asset protection component, where you create barriers between entities, and so one liability is isolated inside of one entity, and another activity which produces liability is isolated inside of another entity, and that way way, they're firewalls. It's like if you're on a cruise ship and the ship starts to sink, they have these walls that close off one area of the ship that may be being flooded so that the next area is safe. That's kind of what the concept is from an asset protection perspective. But there's more. There's the privacy component. You know, when you get to be a public personality, or if you end up having a situation where your wealth, for whatever reason, is more apparent to other people, you could potentially become a target. Maybe you just don't want to have your personal affairs out in the public eye. And so there's a privacy consideration. Then there's tax considerations. And so there you can move money and you can have assets and income in different jurisdictions based on the most advantageous tax situation. And then the other component is estate planning. Because you think about that at some point, everything you've built needs to move on to the next generation or whatever you're going to do. And then again, the laws are different in different places. And so you can organize what you've built in such a way to be able to take full advantage of all of the different palette of jurisdictions and law and tax laws that are available to you. Obviously, it's not a simple task. These aren't the type of things you take on when you've got a few thousand dollars. But, you know, if you're a real estate investor and you're a serious real estate investor, especially if you're a real estate syndicator and you're going to play the game at a big level, getting all this stuff set up early is important. It's like when you set up your accounting and you're going to start doing business, if you don't have your books set up, you don't have your chart of accounts figured out, then you don't know when an expense come in, where to code it. You don't know when you're going to pay it, what account you pay it out of, which credit card you use. That's a very simple example. But when you get your structure all done on the front end, then when you go to start to conduct business, it's very clear you don't violate some of those formalities that provide the protections that you're after. You don't inadvertently expose yourself in some way. And so there's a little bit to learn, but you know, I think I'd make the argument that it's worth learning. And the thing is, once you learn it and you get the right team in place, it's really not that complicated. It's only complicated at the beginning.
Like anything you learn in real estate, and you've learned a lot already, at first it seems foreign, and eventually it's just part of the way you think. And we've got a guest today who helps folks think exactly this way. Very excited to introduce you to someone who's not been on the show before, but will be today. He's an author, he's a lawyer, and he's going to teach us about offshore asset protection today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Have you decided to invest in real estate but find you don't have the time to evaluate your options? Successful real estate investing takes expertise, market knowledge, and time. Many affluent investors with busy schedules choose to rely on real estate experts. They partner with proven teams with a successful track record. Four Peaks Capital Partners have created a system which allows accredited investors an opportunity to invest in undervalued assets. If you're an accredited investor looking for passive income, call 877-5-INCOME. That's 877-5-INCOME, or visit privateincomeinvestments.com.
This portion of the Real Estate Guys radio program is brought to you by International Coffee Farms, where you can own a parcel of land in your very own specialty coffee farm in Panama for as little as $15,000. Here's how it works. Deeded half-acre parcels entitled Specialty Coffee Farms in Boquete, Panama are turnkey managed professionally on your behalf by a team of local experts. Sustainable average income is estimated at 12%, and cash flow can begin within 12 to 15 months from the date of your parcel ownership. International Coffee Farms' mission is to own and operate specialty coffee farms that are economically, environmentally, and socially sustainable. As part of this mission, 20% of the gross profits of each farm is committed to a socially sustainable fund to improve the lives of the Panamanian coffee farm workers and their families. International Coffee Farms currently owns and operates 9 specialty coffee farms with half-acre parcels available for immediate ownership. To find out how you can become a coffee farm owner in Boquete, Panama, email coffee@realestateguysradio.com. That's coffee@realestateguysradio.com. Forbes rated Memphis the best cash flow market in the nation. And our good friend Terry Kerr at Mid-South Homebuyers has been the premier turnkey rental property provider in Memphis for over 13 years. With an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, Terry has renovated over 750 houses. Real Estate Guys listeners have snapped up hundreds. Discover what these satisfied investors already know. Mid-South's properties are completely renovated with a one-year warranty and a lifelong rental guarantee. They're affordable, well-managed, and easy to own. Perfect for beginning investors and veterans alike. Get in on the action. Contact Terry and his team via email at midsouth@realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, it's Ken McElroy. I listen to The Real Estate Guys, and so should you.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every weekend on this fabulous radio station and all the time at realestateguysradio.com. In more than 190 countries, folks listen to The Real Estate Guys. Today, we're in the country of Belize. Let's say hello to attorney, author, and all-around good guy, Kevin Day. Hey, Kevin.
Good morning, Robert. This is another beautiful day in paradise.
We've had a great time for a few days here in Belize, and we thought before we get you out of here, let's share some of this stuff with our listeners.
It's been a great conference. We had a good, relaxed day after a couple days of conference. What's great this morning is we have the Prime Minister here in the same conference room that we just exited just a day ago. And I've met all these people from Honduras and Nicaragua and Guatemala. All these people are in suits. They've got security guards. And it's the United Nations today.
It's pretty amazing. And they're still flying in. It's extraordinary. This is kind of a coming together of folks from different places. And that really is a great backdrop for what we want to talk about. You know, when you start out as a real estate investor, you start to learn, well, maybe I shouldn't put every property in my own name. That's kind of the first thing. It's like, ooh, there's this thing that I can do to structure my business. And we talked last week with Garrett Sutton about, you know, the basics of that. Of course, what you do is you help clients look at a bigger picture than that. So maybe explain, why would somebody need to think about asset protection in more than one country?
Well, one of the things, and as most of your listeners know, 94% of the world's lawsuits are in the United States or from Americans. So even though we have international followers of the Real Estate Guys, the people from the United States have to be really, really sharp and on their game and do a lot more just because of their residence. In America, a lawsuit is equivalent to a lottery ticket. And people look at it. Actually, I don't know why the CIA was doing it, but about 8 years ago, they did this test, or they were collecting all this data, and they were asking Americans, how do you become a multimillionaire? And the first one was inherit it.
Yeah.
And the second was through a lawsuit, and work for it was something like five or six.
Wow.
And that's just our mentality. So that means you have to, as a business person, as an entrepreneur, as a high net worth W-2 person that may not think you're an entrepreneur, but you are because you've diversified, this is an essential part of running your business.
Yeah. So how do you approach folks who get to that place where they recognize, wow, maybe I'm not protected, and not try to overwhelm them? One of the things I appreciated about your presentation this weekend was that you made it pretty simple. You used some charts and graphs. You gave some great examples. And I think that helps kind of demystify this.
Right. Just like you and Russ a moment ago were saying, putting eggs in different baskets, putting up the firewalls, are really stage one of lawsuit protection.
Okay.
They, LLCs and corporations, are protecting assets from what's in that bucket.
Yeah.
But not the other way around. If somebody's suing you, they come down the ownership chain. And so this is where trusts come into play. And until the very late 1980s, the only way to get an irrevocable trust was for the owner to give it all away,
right,
irrevocably, have no ownership, have no control, have no access to. So if you're ready to carve off to your kids, that's great, but entrepreneurs aren't. And they want to enjoy their wealth, and they're collecting it for a great retirement. So in the late 80s, the U.S. not only signed, but we were the main proponent of the Hague Convention on Trusts. And the trusts themselves were a giveaway. They wanted countries to sign on to other stuff that they really cared about. But it was the first time ever that an entrepreneur could set up a trust and name themselves as a beneficiary. And it was still an irrevocable trust under U.S. law.
Well, this is an interesting part of the law, because we start out as investors and we learn about things like partnerships and limited liability companies and corporations. But the idea of a trust is maybe murky to some folks. So let's step back and just kind of explain, why do you set up this vehicle called a trust?
The original trusts were only irrevocable. And these things that everybody has had some kind of exposure, whether they've done them or not, are these revocable living trusts.
Right.
Those are relatively, from a legal point of view, a new, brand new instrument. They were invented in the 1930s. And that's why people will often say, oh, well, I've got lawsuit protection. I have a trust. I have my revocable family trust. Because there's so much momentum going back to the 10th century that all trusts are irrevocable. That's the only thing you could have. And so it was really for transfer of wealth, preservation of conditions so that the estate wouldn't be dissipated. All those are still valid today, even in a living trust. But the irrevocable sort, particularly if you're not giving it away to your children early, they'll get it after your demise, segregates your assets. So if you get hit by a giant lightning rod in some other part of your life, you still have a decent lifestyle. You still have something to live with. So if these trusts that the Carnation family and the Kennedys families use, and somebody has an $8 million judgment against them, but they're living in a nice mansion and driving nice cars, if it's good for the big dogs, it's good for all us little dogs.
Yeah, so when you think about a trust, it's really, it's not you. It's a vehicle that's a way to separate some of this liability and your assets. And because of that, it can be used for a variety of reasons. We're obviously a real estate investing show, and so we like the protections that it affords folks that want to add apartments to the portfolio or shopping centers or big syndications. But it's really just a way to kind of firewall these various parts of your life.
Yes, and the key difference, it's a simple concept, but you have to hear it a few times, is that the business entities, corporations, LLCs, limited partnerships, have to have an owner. They are a separate legal owner from you, as you and Russ were talking earlier. If you don't follow the formalities, then you buy groceries with your corporate card, then it allows your adversary to pierce the corporate veil and come after you personally. So you don't get the protection that you expected from it. So they are a separate legal person, but they have to have shareholders. They have to have partners. Trusts are unique in that they don't have an owner. They set aside from you. And that's one of the reasons, there's several reasons, but that's the primary reason that they're completely lawsuit proof. The only way to attack an irrevocable trust is to allege and prove fraudulent conveyance, that you had a known existing current creditor when you set it up, and that's why you were setting it up. So if you set up structures with trusts, while your legal seas are relatively calm, we have developers, contractors, certain physician groups that they're always got something little bubbling along. You don't sit there like a deer in the headlights and wait for that to trundle on. We make allowances so our clients aren't putting their toe over the line of fraudulent conveyance. Set up the structure, something horrendous happens, a year later, 2 years later, they'll be fine.
Well, one of the issues, of course, is that different people in their lives and different investment vehicles carry different levels of risk. If I own a bunch of single-family homes that have long-term leases in a stable neighborhood, my risk profile, not that I don't have risk, but my risk profile is different than if what I do is a lot of development deals and a lot of, you know, highly involved transactions. So let's talk about that part of it. Assessing what your risks are.
Right. What we do, we have actually a liability assessment or a liability audit where we look holistically. We, you know, do you have teenage drivers? Do you have employees? Do you have tenants? Are you responsible for other people's money? Are you responsible for other people's assets? When you look at any one of those individually, you say, no, that's not much. But when you do this assessment and look at it, you go, all those little things added up. Now, some people know they're in an industry, they know there's super high liability.
Right.
But a lot of us that are branching out entrepreneurs, we don't have that sophisticated a structure. But when we add all those little pieces up, we might be at a higher level than we expect. Every once in a while, people are really, really concerned and they can actually calm down because they can say, wow, I have a lot less liability than I really had imagined. And I can pay attention more to making money than protecting my money from being taken.
Good point. I think once you go through the process of understanding asset protection and get some of these early structures in place, that also gives you that peace of mind, right?
Absolutely. And the other thing is, we have so many people that come to us from big law firms and big accounting firms. They have in-house lawyers and stuff, and they go, why didn't anybody teach me about these things? Lawyers, I have an MBA, international business. I have my law doctorate, and they teach you what officers and directors are and the formalities, but they really don't teach you about entity planning. That just comes later. It's not in coursework. And so somebody has a great empire, they have internal lawyers, and they finally get to me and they say, this is some basic things. Not hold my intellectual property in with my employees, put it in a separate company. That's wise. How come they didn't tell me that? And we can make it a profit center. I can move my profits away from my employees or customers or service.
Well, that's a great example of one of the ways that structuring yourself legally can pay off is when you look at kind of this holistic approach. As we were building our businesses internationally, we got exposed to a lot of these ideas, and I felt the same thing. I'm like, wow, I never heard this. People aren't talking about this. I've had, you know, properties and LLCs forever, but I didn't know about all the, you know, asset protection trusts and way to segregate, you know, income from liabilities and all that. And it isn't that overwhelming if you learn it step by step. It takes some time. I think people get in a situation where they have a problem. Either they get sued or another problem, like they won the lottery, and now they call the attorney.
Wake up call.
Yeah. That's maybe too late, right? So let's start thinking about this stuff. Let's repair the roof while the sun is shining. And what are some of the basics to get started in making sure you've got this part of your financial life figured out?
Well, one, with a liability assessment, but we also, the next step after that is look at what entities are already in place. I am a firm believer in roadmaps. Because if you just add a company here and add a company there, because that seems like the normal, if I go into my normal real estate attorney's office or corporate lawyer or estate planning lawyer and say I want lawsuit protection, you're going to get that first layer. How many assets do you have? Oh, how many single family? Okay, you need 7 LLCs. And later on, you're going to have a giant octopus. So you really want to project where you think you're going and try to develop a structure that's going to be as streamlined as possible. We have three general categories. Zero liability assets, that's your cash and portfolio and passive investments. You have your super high liability world, the company that does services or product with third parties, has employees. Those are high liability. Then there's the things in between, like real estate is a perfect example, that it's high value, but really high liability of one sort or another. You're not going to carry enough insurance. You carry enough insurance for the normal broken shoulder or something because a deck fell or something. But if it's catastrophic, you're not, you know, you don't have to have a party of 30 people at the house when the boiler blows up to get an $8 million judgment. You can have a family of four. Most people aren't going to be covering that kind of insurance. And if you carry that much insurance, you become more of a target to the underbelly of the bad lawyers. So you keep your moderate amount of insurance and you use other strategies for lawsuit protection. So we need to divide up a client's world into those three areas and see really how exposed they are or aren't, but not overstructure. You want to keep it simple because you want to pay attention to keeping your money because it's easy for somebody to take it away, but your energy needs to be focused on making money. And so my job is to make complex things understandable, put them in place, and then put them on the shelf and let the entrepreneur run.
One of the great things about having an attorney that's done all kinds of different business for all kinds of different people in all kinds of different jurisdictions is you have seen a lot of scenarios and how they played out and when someone has made a particular move, how it's worked out for them and so forth. So I know people are always interested in the case studies of it, but you brought up a couple of types of clients that this kind of makes sense for. Maybe tell us a story or two about how asset protection in this regard has helped somebody or not.
Well, I have people come back all the time that say, wow, we would have gotten fried. I would have had to fire, you know, 80 employees. I would have gone down, but for the structuring that you've done. The privacy component was also brought up by you and Russ earlier. I have had people that for one reason or another have taken their active business where the higher liability is. And I'm thinking of one gal specifically is a pretty funny story. She had an RV park and she was on premises manager. And we were doing some planning and she said, you know, I want to go one step further. I don't want to look like I have all these assets. So we actually created in the structuring that she was essentially transferring to her own structures but it looked like a sale. We put it in, we had put a Chinese name to it and so forth. So she was transferring it. And she actually put out the story that, oh, wow, I got this great deal. I was finally able to get out from underneath this, but I got this great deal. I got a contract to stay on as the manager. She wasn't the owner anymore.
Right.
She started hearing stories of stuff that was going on her properties. And it was a big, big complex. She had to clean house a little bit because there were things going on. But if she wasn't the owner anymore, she's just one of us. And she got different stories. I've said that. Very few people have taken me up on it. But about once a year, somebody will say, yeah, I might want to just come in. Let's take that office building and put it into another name, and I'll just have stayed on as the manager under contract. So privacy is important. The international planning, there are a bunch of different jurisdictions. There aren't very many attorneys that are true lawsuit protection attorneys at this level with the international trusts and planning. But the few that are tend to be married to one jurisdiction. My law firm is very different in that we are versed in very many. Some are big differences, some are subtle that will or may not make a difference to a client. But also, about 10 years after the Hague Convention. So the Hague Convention says U.S. persons can set up foreign trusts under that country's law, and it will be the law of the land in the United States. So effectively, they remove U.S. court jurisdiction over that trust under U.S. law. We want to play the game. We just want to play the game smarter than they expected us to use the rules. About 10 years after that, 1997, U.S. states started to pass similar laws. Now, the U.S. courts will still have a jurisdiction, which is a major problem, but they're a fraction of the cost. So people in this roadmap kind of style can say, I'm not ready for international, continue to educate me, but I want to get a legally recognized third-party owner that if something goes wrong in the active world, my home and my savings and my money generators are legally separated from me. I'll start with the domestic trust. We put what are called decanting provisions in it that allow it to move offshore gracefully without starting a new statute of limitations on attacking a trust. So we can start domestically and move internationally if it's appropriate.
All right. And I know that when you make a decision to go internationally, there's lots of factors. We'll talk about those when we come back. We're talking to attorney Kevin Day about protecting your assets in lots of ways. We're going to play real estate trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
If you've been listening to the Real Estate Guys for a while, then you've heard about the legendary Investor Summit. Simply put, it's the highest level event we do, and the content, faculty, and attendees are amazing. If you're serious about taking your real estate investment to the next level, consider joining us. You'll spend an entire week with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals, and you'll have a blast. It all begins March 14th, 2019, in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Visit realestateguysradio.com and click the tab that says Summit to learn more and get on the advance notice list. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit and make plans to spend a week with the Real Estate Guys and an all-star faculty on the 17th Annual Investor Summit at Sea.
If you want to retire in the next 5 years or less through real estate, then please pay close attention. My name is Brad Sumrock, and I've taught thousands of my students how to replace their incomes, quit their jobs, and retire faster than they ever thought possible by not investing in single-family homes. You see, there's a secret to retiring fast with little risk, and it has nothing to do with being a landlord, fixing toilets, or flipping houses. The secret is multifamily apartment buildings. Starting from scratch with zero experience, I managed to pocket over $1 million in cash and retire from my 17-year corporate job within 3 years of apartment investing. Now, this is not your typical no-money-down real estate training. We believe in smart, hard work for intelligent people. So if you're good with your finances, have a decent job, or saving your money, and you're looking for a change and getting out of the rat race, then investing in apartment buildings might just be the answer you've been looking for. Send an email right now to sumrock@realestateguysradio.com to get the details of my upcoming training event
And you also receive my free training webinar, Apartment Investing for Beginners. That's Sumrock, S-U-M-R-O-K, at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Lawrence Yun, Chief Economist with National Association of Realtors, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
And welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show from beautiful Belize today. It's part two of our series on asset protection, and we'll get back to our great interview with Kevin Day right after we play Real Estate Trivia. That's your chance to win a prize by knowing today's Real Estate Trivia question. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you a question that has something to do with something Kevin's already talked about. When you hear the question and think you know the answer, send your best guess to trivia at realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address, so we can send you this great book called Life Defining Moments from Bold Thought Leaders, a collection of awesome stories from a bunch of super cool folks. Before I give you this week's trivia question, last week it was part one of protecting the assets you worked so hard to acquire with Garrett Sutton, and we asked this: which country has the most tornadoes? Well, the answer is that tornadoes are more common in the United States than any other country. In fact, the U.S. averages more than 1,200 tornadoes annually, four times the amount seen in Europe. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Earlier, Kevin mentioned the Hague Convention on Trusts happened in the mid-80s. The Hague is the third most populated municipality in the Netherlands. Which is the most populated? Yep, which is the most populated municipality, city center, if you will, in the Netherlands? If you know or just want to guess, send your best guess to trivia at realestateguysradio.com. Trivia at realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address. Because if you're the winner, we're going to send you this great book, Life Defining Moments from Bold Thought Leaders. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're in beautiful Belize with attorney Kevin Day, and Kevin's written several books on these kinds of topics, but we're talking about how you can protect yourself, protect the assets that you've acquired and that you plan to. And we were talking before the break, Kevin, about some of the international ideas in the different jurisdictions without getting specific about jurisdictions yet, but maybe we want to. What I'm wondering is, you know, you did a great presentation for us about getting onto the Investor Summit this last year. We opened up people's eyes to some of these things. And of course, then you had a couple of days on the ship with us, so people get in conversations. Unfortunately, you had a conflict and had to get off at the first port. So we're going to remedy that next year, and you'll be with us for the 2019 Investor Summit. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. But this idea of when you decide it maybe makes sense to have an entity or a trust offshore, part of that has to do with how much you have in assets. And you gave some guidelines the other day about that. Can you speak to when does it make sense? It's probably not my first rental house.
Right. If somebody is, their net estate is over $4 million, where they, and that includes their home and their operating business and their rentals, we have found that somewhere around 3.5 million and 4 million, most people's creature comforts are taken care of, and their estate starts to grow exponentially. So even if they don't do something brilliant investment-wise, they're still growing.
Yeah.
And they don't want to start all over. So
right,
that person at 4 million and above should take it on seriously to educate themselves whether it's a good fit. Somebody under 2 million, it's not appropriate. I'm not going to mention it because it's a really powerful under U.S. law. There's everything good about it, but it's too costly for them. So
right,
we're just going to talk about the domestic. That group between 2 million and 4 million is the more interesting one, because if they have a high liability business, but they're going to stay at 3 million. They make a good salary for themselves, but they run a sandwich shop. You can't buy enough insurance for one tain a night.
Right.
Should they go international? Probably not, in my personal opinion, but they might want to examine it. I think the domestic would be fine for them. I've got the example that I use all the time is my key maker. He has three 20-year-olds driving trucks out. That's enough liability there.
Yep.
He is making keys to people's offices and businesses. He was getting sleepless nights, and he was about 3.5, 3.8, and probably wasn't going to grow. He wasn't charging. He had a nice, comfortable life and loved his little world. But he said, if I lose my business, I lose my house, I lose my wife, I'm not going to be in good shape. And I actually, in my opinion, thought the domestic would be fine. But he said, no, I want peace of mind. I want to make sure that the scary things, the stupid things that happen in our legal system can't happen to me. I want to remove U.S. court jurisdiction. So we ended up going international. The other is somebody that just hit a home run. You know, I was renting 5 years ago. I had a Yugo. 2 years ago, I bought my first house. I sold that. Now I'm in a $1 million house. I just hired 5 more people. Why just go with a domestic trust to move it offshore, 9 months later? Let's go ahead and stretch and go international. But it's all about the education. There should never be an attorney that says, oh, I've got a black box and it works for you. Trust me. Right. you want to get educated. You don't want to go back to law school, but you want to know the details that make a difference to you. Why is it solving a problem for you? And why is it the right answer? And that's what I'm here for. I'm an educator. I love being on your faculty. I love being on your advisory board because it's all about education.
Well, part of the advisory board part is that with our syndication students, a lot of folks that listen to the show are just owning real estate in their own account. But some folks get to the point where, hey, they'd like to do bigger deals and put money together and so forth. And of course, you'll be at the Secrets of Successful Syndication coming up in September. And we do this twice a year. Folks that are now taking on the added responsibility of taking other people's money, this is an area that you definitely need to pay attention to your liability and perhaps even your privacy.
Exactly. One of the things about putting assets in different pockets, in different entities, that does segregate them. That's important. But lowering your profile from a lawsuit perspective changes the trajectory. Anybody who's been in a lawsuit or has a friend that has gone through a lawsuit, they constantly come back to me in amazement and say, wow, once that lawsuit started, it didn't feel like a lawsuit. It felt like blackmail. It had nothing to do with the original harm.
Right.
It was how much did I have to ante up and whether they were going to hold out and wait and wait and wait because they wanted an extra $500,000. So what you look like out in the public record will change the expectation from the lawyer's point of view on whether, wow, this is their deep pocket, they have wealth everywhere, we're just going to wait and squeeze them and squeeze them and squeeze them, versus they don't see half of your wealth. They don't know that you have a boat moored in Baltimore Harbor, that you have a cabin in Breckenridge. They see your operating business and maybe they see some debt on that. And so if we paint a picture that they might even be worrying about the lawsuit altogether, but they're going to try it anyway, they want to get out. They are not expecting a good settlement. And we can create those pictures in the public record. Privacy and where your name shows up in the public record changes completely what happens in a lawsuit.
As you increase your holdings and as you become more successful, this is exactly the kind of thing you've got to think about, because if you are sued, there's going to be a discovery period and the other attorney is going to be able to look at everything you have. And if you'll legally set up these kinds of structures, then you can look the attorney and the judge in the eye and say, I don't own that. It doesn't even come up.
Exactly. 80% of the time, they don't even see the structuring we've done or those assets in. That 20% where they have found it have always been great settlements. We've never had a structure busted. It's all about timing. Set it up while your legal seas are calm.
Well, this is the point about when you set up a foreign entity and it is now subscribing to the laws of that country, pretty soon a U.S. attorney, or I guess any country's attorney, would look and say, that's just more trouble than it's worth, right? Maybe we could figure out how to get to it, but it's not easy pickings. And that's the thing. You don't want to be a target. When you start out in real estate investing, you don't have much, so you're not much of a target. As soon as you get a few properties and maybe some equity and some cash flow, all of a sudden, you're becoming more and more of a target. It's just the world we live in. So we always talk about the three things being taxation, privacy, and asset protection, kind of this triangle. And when you start, you're probably more interested in saving tax because you don't have many assets to protect. And once you get some assets, now asset protection is critical. And then ultimately, as you do have that bigger target, a bigger persona or profile, privacy. But the great part about these structures is they do kind of help in all three areas potentially.
Yes, on the privacy, the estate planning, and lawsuit protection, absolutely. Offshore trusts, there are some tax advantages, but they're rare circumstances.
Yes.
These lawsuit protection trusts are tax neutral. There's nothing, we don't want to rely on secrets. Again, we want to play the game better than they're expecting us to. The IRS actually has a form for them, a 3520, which is part of the defense file. It's very powerful in the courtroom when somebody, some lawyer, the attorneys don't, or the judges don't come from estate planners. They right. don't know what trusts are.
Right.
So to be able to come in there and say, not only are these legal, they're recognized in all 50 states, and here's my filing with the IRS for the last 3 years. This is an irrevocable trust under the law. And that's very powerful. The component that you also said was the international card, one, an attorney isn't a barrister in the Isle of Man or a barrister in the Bahamas or right. Cook Islands or wherever. So they don't have a job anymore. But we've had sophisticated, I had a large law firm at one point, 25 people. We did maquiladora and cross-border stuff. We represented a client that was very sophisticated internationally. Somebody had stolen money from him, embezzled money from him. We went through the process, we got judgments, and it turned out that all the wealth had been moved down into Mexico. They weren't into trusts or anything. They were still in the person's name. And we said, you know, it's not an outlaw country. They have attorneys, just like if you're a French or German citizen and you're suing somebody in the United States, the U.S. attorney isn't going to say, oh, they're from France or Germany, I'm not going to represent them.
Right.
No, it's their reputation, their industry, their business. They're going to zealously advocate it. The same in Mexico. But this client said, what was the last settlement on the table? They gave up just because of the international card. In this particular case, we have trusts that are in statute of limitations, jurisdictions. There's also other systems, but some of them are as short as 2 years, and they're complete bars. Statute of limitations in the United States, judges can lift them. They can come up with reasons to let them be extended. The rest of the world doesn't do that. We're also the only non-loser pays system in the whole world. If you sue somebody else in another country and you lose, you have to pay all their fees and costs. Some of these countries require a cash bond from the plaintiff. It's a whole different ball game internationally.
Like the one we're sitting in. If I want to bring a lawsuit against you here in Belize, I have to provide in cash a deposit to cover not only my attorney, but yours. And guess what? There's not very many lawsuits. So,
right.
Hey, one more thing I want to ask before we get you out of here. We're talking about international asset protection and entities. And you've talked about why you might want to go offshore from a protection and privacy point of view. What if you do have holdings offshore? What if you do own property in another country or a business in another country? I'm guessing then it's even more critical that you understand some of this cross-jurisdictional stuff.
Yes, you absolutely do. With the operating of companies, that's an interesting area, and that's where you can get into tax. If you're an American owning foreign companies, they're considered, they're called a controlled foreign corporation. That's the term of art in the Internal Revenue Code. But there's a thing called non-subpart F income. You have to report it, but you don't pay tax until it's repatriated. And so many people that start to have foreign investments, they'll start with passive investments, but once they get comfortable with doing business internationally, they go, okay, where's what entrepreneurs do?
Right.
I don't want to just make money, but I want to save on taxes. How do I make it active? And some people aren't going to have the circumstances to convert into that non-subpart F income, but a plenty can.
Yep.
And it can be very easy to construct it that way.
All right, good stuff. Well, we could go on, and we will when you join us for the Investors Summit at Sea. The great thing about the summit is not only will Kevin do some pretty high-level presentations, but also be available at dinner and around the ship and all that kind of stuff, which is always good. But I'm really intrigued by this liability assessment, and this is a tool that will help you understand really what you do have to lose, make you think about some things you hadn't, give you some peace of mind perhaps, and Kevin's agreed to make that available to you. So when you come back, we'll tell you how you can get a free copy of the liability assessment so that you can start down this path. Kevin, it's been awesome having you here in Belize and on the program, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the Secrets of Successful Syndication.
It has been a great time. Looking forward to the next one.
There's Attorney Kevin Day. More when we come back, you're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe of Paradigm Life. Over the last few years, I've had the privilege of sharing the services of Paradigm Life with you loyal Real Estate Guys Radio listeners through our website, www.beyourbank.com, and also on the annual Investor Summit at Sea. Subsequently, we have seen a variety of financial situations across the socioeconomic spectrum and how everyone, regardless of their situation, would improve their financial lives by following the system we specialize in. As a result of this experience, we have created an online e-learning system so anyone without obligation can learn about the infinite banking concept. This free e-learning program is found on our website, www.beyourbank.com. So check it out today. The website again is www.beyourbank.com.
Hi, this is Doug Casey, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. Join us in November, the first part of November, for the New Orleans Investment Conference. This is the oldest running investment conference in the U.S. We don't put it on, but we sure show up every year. All kinds of great speakers, all kinds of great stuff, and a great listener party from The Real Estate Guys. Get the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com under events. We're talking about asset protection. This week, part two, international offshore asset protection. Oh my gosh, awesome to get around Kevin Day.
It is. You know, we've been looking to have somebody kind of in our fold that really is expert in this. And these guys are hard to find.
Yeah.
And when you get them, you know, of course, with what we're doing with the syndication program, you've got people out there who are raising, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars. And the first thing when someone comes in to set up their business is they need to take everything that they've already built up and make sure that that is adequately protected from the liabilities of everything they do, including the new business they're about to start. The other part of it is then when they go about the business of actually raising the money, having the proper structures in place so that the very assets that they're building on behalf of themselves and their investors are also properly protected. And of course, you know, if you're really going to explore the fullness of the opportunities that are out there in the marketplace, like us, the probabilities are you're probably going to be looking at some deals offshore too. And so if you don't have that person already on your team lined up, ready to go, then when it comes deal time, and we all know what happens at deal time, right? Deal time is you put your sneakers on and you're sprinting. And that's not the time to be figuring this stuff out. You get it kind of set up in advance. I mean, it does evolve. And, you know, I know in my personal experience, you know, you set it up the best you can with the visibility that you have for where you're at. And then as you progress and things change, you know, you have to continually come back. It is almost like continuing education for a real estate investor. You know, attorneys and CPAs and people like that, they're always going back for continuing education. They're getting updated on the new laws. They're getting updated on the new case law in terms of how things have actually worked out in the real world. They're constantly practicing because they're always introduced to new scenarios as investors and people come to them and say, hey, this is what happened. And this is what I'm doing. How do we fix this? And so it evolves. Well, you need to do the same thing, really, as a real estate investor, and especially if you're going to get into the business of syndication.
I think a reason that people don't spend the time they need to is this isn't the necessarily exciting part of the business. It's like we had a session this weekend on due diligence. Arguably, one of the most important parts of a real estate transaction is doing the proper due diligence about not just the property, which is traditional due diligence in the real estate world, but the market, the providers, the people involved, partners, if you have them. And nobody teaches that, and it's not sexy or exciting. What people teach is here's how to flip a house, or here's how to find a great deal, or here's the way you can make tons of money. But why go to all that heartache and trouble to earn all that money if you're just going to be dumb in your asset protection strategies and not have it protected? So this is really an ounce of prevention.
Yeah, well, so much of the real estate education that's out there, and you know, we'll say that being real estate educators ourselves, is really promotional. It's designed on sunshine, how much money you can make in real estate, how great real estate is, how fun real estate is, how sexy real estate is, and pictures of hot, you know, hot cars and luxurious vacations and all that stuff. And that's all part of it. But in the real world, when you're doing real business, there's real risk, there's real threats, there's the real possibility of doing a bad deal and making a mistake or having something completely out of your control, like a 2008 financial crisis, blow up in your face. And so you have to talk about the dark side. You have to talk about the things that could go wrong. You know, Sam Zell, multi-billionaire, probably one of the most successful real estate investors ever. He's maybe not as famous as some other guys, but he wrote a book called Am I Being Too Subtle? And he's just, you know, a kind of a matter-of-fact, straight-shooting guy. And he said one of his major skill sets is to understand the downside. You know, he says, look, everybody wants to talk about the upside. Everybody can see the sunshine. Everybody can see the possibilities. What really made me good was my ability to see the downside and to understand the risk. So I wasn't a pessimist because I, you know, looked at it. I was a realist, and I could assess. And then once I understood what my risk was, I could come up with mitigation strategies, and I could make a good calculated business decision of risk versus reward. Is this a risk worth taking? Is this a risk I can survive? Well, part of surviving is understanding that everything you've built can be structured in such a way that you literally can have a business or a project fail and you can still survive. You know, people give President Trump a lot of crap because he had, you know, four businesses that went bankrupt. Well, the whole point of doing it is that you build successful businesses. And when you're out there trying, you have 400 or 500 companies, or I don't know how many he had. And I'm not defending. I'm just saying the concept is that you go out there and you build things up and you have things that are working. You want to go try something new. And if something goes wrong, you can't have it just destroy everything you've built. If the legal system allowed that to be the case, then how much innovation, how much venture? People would not take those chances because they couldn't afford the risk. So it is really an investment that the lawmakers made in allowing people the opportunity to take a risk, but isolate that risk. Well, as investors and entrepreneurs, we need to be aware of those vehicles and we need to take advantage of them. It starts by getting yourself up to a base level of understanding and knowledge, and then getting the right people on the team so that when you go from concept to real world, you have tactical advisors like Kevin and CPAs that support that, and insurance people and all the people that are part of your risk management structure on deck so that they can help you look at your situation in detail and then advise you at the tactical level exactly how to do what you want to do.
If you've not thought about this stuff, or you're thinking, wow, I may need to brush up and get to that next level as your investments do, then a great place to start is this liability assessment that Kevin's put together. If you want a copy of it, just send an email to liability@realestateguysradio.com, liability@realestateguysradio.com. You'll get a copy of the liability assessment. And of course, it'll also give you Kevin's contact details if you're interested in these kinds of structures. But awesome to have Kevin on the program. Excited that he's coming to all these events with us and is part of our world. And we're looking forward to next week's show. Until then, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.